anybody who was against Mike Murn's petition to 22,000 signers.
Call me here.
Oh, the Terry poll, it's 6 minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, good. We're doing spiffy. I mean, maybe this is kind of a rejection of the criminal code. The first day we don't have to do what the criminal shows up.
Mark was going to get me once when I was at KTVF.
Okay, we're going to call a meeting, Doris. And the first bill we're going to take up is House Bill 491 by Parr, Brown, Miles. There's only three votes for it here. You'll have to test by Mr. Parr.
Oh, if you got it before, we just move it out of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I would say that the fact that people have co-sponsored the bill is not necessarily indicative of votes in the past. Mr. Chairman, the Social Security number is, for a very brief spot of history, started with the beginning of the Social Security system in 1936. And there was a lot of opposition at that time to the use of such numbers, the fear that they might become some sort of universal identifier, and the federal government promises were that they would be restricted to Social Security purposes. And that went on, stayed that way for quite a while, but in 1961, the IRS started using them on the tax returns, or acquiring them on tax returns. And there was a sort of a movement to use them more and more, and then in 1974, Congress finally became concerned, passed the Privacy Act, and just put a moratorium until after January 1st, 75, and Congress backslid. In 1976, as part of the Tax Reform Act, they permitted states to use them for state tax purposes, motor vehicle license purposes, and public assistance purposes. And really, it's the federal government, as far as I'm personally concerned, has not indicated that it has sufficient concern over this issue. Now, it appears to me that in today's highly computerized world, especially much more than in the days when we had simply paper files, that there is the danger of interlinking everything on a person to the computer. That interlinking obviously works best if you have some single tag which can be used, and I'm afraid that the security number has become the single identifier which is common to everyone. The bill would in substance prohibit state agencies from requiring Social Security numbers unless they had authority from the legislature, in other words, the authority granted in law, with the one exception which comes out in Section B there, that if there's some federal program, the legislature has said we will participate in this program, and if the federal government requires the use of those numbers as part of participation, that the state agency would do it. The assumption there is that if we have, as a legislature, approved participation in this program, we have gone ahead and approved the use of whatever the federal agency requires, essentially. We're going to reject the federal requirements and we've got to reject the program. There was a survey, and it should be copied in your packet, but before I introduced this bill, I was concerned about the problem that it brought to my attention. But I didn't want to jump and say, maybe this is not really a problem, that I'm fighting boxing or tilting at windmills or seeing spooks under the bed or something. So I did have a survey made by Legislative Affairs last year on the subject, and I say that should be in this package. And the you'll notice there were a number of offices in the state or departments that were requiring Social Security numbers. Under the column where it says law or regulation cited, they say none. That's, I think, more concerning than the fact in some ways that they're using it. Where the Department of Administration has IRS regulation requires it, that's understandable. But
you see, child support enforcement down there is one of the reasons. There's the daddy snatchers for you, the daddy grabbers.
That was one of the things from which caused greatly furor in Congress, of course, was that use of that to link the things together. I think it may seem that there's not a major problem here, but if the federal government is not going to do anything to prevent the compilation of a of dossier using one single identifier on people, and I think the state has to do it. And I might point out that the universal identifying number is sort of a precondition for something which we have never in the United States, which has been characteristic of dictatorships, and that's sort of an internal passport. In fact, when the federal administration was considering what to do about the illegal immigration, that was one of the considerations, was to have you an indestructible, uncounterfeitable Social Security card, which you had to carry with you at all times. The internal passport type thing has existed in Tsarist Russia and exists in the Soviet Union today. I'll answer any questions I can, Mr. Chairman, on the bill.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Park, why did you decide not to have the bill apply to uses or misuses of Social Security numbers in private business?
Well, that could be done. There are presently no restrictions, to my knowledge, on that use in private business. In fact, as far as the federal law is concerned, the private organizations and businesses are neither empowered nor forbidden by law to use it. They have no legal right to make you give it, but they're not forbidden to ask for it either. That would be a broadening of the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I know that no doubt the constitutional authority for this bill would be the right of privacy constitutional amendment passed in 1972. And, Mr. Chairman, I do know that there's at least one Alaska Supreme Court case that interprets that to relate to protecting privacy from state action, whether it's the direct state activity or state enforcing a private invasion or something of that sort. But also, we do have the power to generally regulate commerce and a few other things like that. I don't know, maybe it makes the bill harder to pass or something, but the prospect of the guy who has the collection agency and the university administrator, if there are any left, and the military guy playing golf with a banker and picking out one number that they can go ahead and find out almost anything they want about anybody is a little upsetting. That's what all of the right of privacy talk about was found in the early 70s. I suppose my question is, do you think that if we addressed it, that it would reduce chances for passage of the bill?
I would think so, Mr. Brown. I would also point out that one thing about it, if a bank insists on you having your Social Security number, you have recourse. You can go to another bank. But if the state agency asks for it, you're kind of a tree in a sense.
Well, if all banks ask for your Social Security number, you're kind of stuck, eh?
Well, I guess it's true, except that you can close it, but if you want people rejected, the bank, one bank would drop it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess, Alaskans are pretty recalcitrant cusses, and there are two laws that they generally violate. One of them is we could just think about the extent to which there are probably technical federal felony-level firearms violations all over the state, just in the thousands, constantly. You see guns bought and sold across the bar and things like that. The other area is I just know that people are, in fact, to the extent of bragging about using phony Social Security numbers. They'll be damned if they're going to tell anybody who they are, so they make up any seven-digit number, a different one every time they fill out a form, which probably drives everybody's computers crazy. But still, when it's a federal form, that is a violation of Title 18, Section 1001. I guess I won't propose an amendment to include private use and misuse of Social Security numbers, but I don't like them.
Mr. Brown? How many digits is your Social Security number at? The rest of us have nine.
Right, they're 9 digits.
Oh, that's right. 574-1486-90. Hi, I'm 574-1486-90. What's your name?
Questions from other committee members? Mrs. Brown.
Charlie, do you think the bill as it's drafted includes the university? And did you intend to include the university?
I think it's... hopefully it's included under agency, or else if it's not, I hope it's included under other subdivisions of state government. There was a court case last year, I think it was, perhaps the year before, Mr. Brown, I don't know, in believe the university claimed it was not a state agency. In the insurance case, I think the Chrysler was a plane or something, DC-301 to Ice Islands or whatever it was. But anyway, the university claimed that they were not covered by it. They were not really a state agency, and the Supreme Court held against them, is my understanding. So the layman, is my understanding.
Well, Chairman, I suppose you can worry that some lawyer will raise my favorite subject of characterization and say, well, they can be a state agency for one purpose and not another, and maybe even to be careful about it, perhaps you should specifically have it.
I have no objection to the insertion of the phrase to say, to include the University of Alaska, if that's necessary.
You said intended.
It was intended that they could be covered. If that's necessary to spell that out, that's fine.
Other questions
for
anybody?
I have one brief comment, Mr. Chairman. When Mr. Brown introduced himself to you as number 574 or whatever, that was already taken up in a novel about 40 years ago, a Russian, Soviet novel, which everybody had numbers and so on.
What was
but
the name of the novel?
We.
I have a constituent who's named Nine.
As in 99?
Her first name is Nine.
Does she have eight brothers and sisters?
I have a constituent who doesn't remember the names of all of his children.
Spell it out.
Does anybody have any more questions?
Well, I was in one of the celebrities.
Okay.
Charlie and Mary and I have a constituent who doesn't remember the names of all of his children. No, somebody even more colorful than that.
I might add one thing. This bill was introduced, of course, last year, and you notice it was introduced in 77. It had a 78 effective date, so I would think that if it were to pass this session, the effective date should be moved back a year, because this would require those agencies to come in and get statutory approval, and it really could be a matter that statutory approval could be handled in one bill of every state agency. Take a lot of bills, but you wouldn't be able to do it between now and July 1st, 78. So you need a new effective date.
Does anybody remember, you know, there's a section of the law that deals with public meeting law? With
20,
executive
44. 4462.
I don't know why.
Thereabouts.
Because that law
has a couple of Charlie Parr, Terry Gardner, Craig Brown Judiciary Committee recent amendments.
Well, it has a list of every organization that doesn't.
Oh, I say, just refer to all those lists under titles.
Yes,
oh, I see what you have in mind.
Yeah, but the problem with doing it that way is
it's written the other way around.
These are the only ones that are excluded.
Right.
Oh,
it has this long laundry list. I wanted to compare it to this.
4462.
That'd be a pretty big pool. Lots of towels.
Lots of what?
Towels.
He's on.
Yeah, I know. I
didn't find it. Oh, I don't know the 4462 bill then.
We don't?
Mr. Chairman, while you're looking that up, Charlie, there's one thing you're interested in, I know, in this same subject matter that also involves House Bill 131. I brought back some materials from the Western Conference Judiciary Committee that show privacy acts and Freedom of Information Acts that are being worked on in California and in Washington State, and a lot of backup material in a rather big, thick folder. That was one of the major topics we did discuss, and apparently they're running into the same kind of things that we find here. An agency comes in and says, this is all very fine, but of course you're going to have to increase my budget by 900 hippopotamuses or something so that I can take care of it and so forth.
Well, California had apparently what was a good bill, but they ran into some kind of political fight between the governor and
Miss University.
Who it was in the assembly down there. Right at the very end of the bill was all about ready to go, and they had a big fight on it and got a monstrosity out, so I understand.
I have both bills, and they're ones that are currently in there. currently being acted on. And they've had input from all of the computer guys and the massive California conglomerates and all, and whether it might be, waters it down. There's one law that addresses entirely public invasion of privacy, and the other one private invasion of privacy, and then there's always the opposite number of the disclosure, freedom of information, and what people got on it, and so forth. I'll show you those materials.
I don't know if you can get my letter to Terry from last summer, got into the file in September, going to report a theft from our shop. And the police wanted to have my social security number. I was a complainant. They wanted my social security number. I refused to give it.
Oh, into the big record, into the sky?
Did they arrest anything?
You will give us your number?
You're going to oven number 3 at 4:50.
Does somebody want to change the effective date?
Yeah.
Move 1979.
Yeah.
Motion to page 2, line 8, change effective date July 1st, 1979. Is there any objection to the motion? No objection. End of stop.
What did you find out in your research?
Well, the public meeting law, of course, is a little bit different thing, but they use a long laundry list of, and they do specifically cite. You know, they're talking about who has meetings. And they say all meetings of the legislative body of a board of regents. And then they go on and list the same things that are listed here of an administrative body, board, commission, committee, subcommittee, authority, council, agency, or other organization. You know, but they specifically saw fit to that list of boards, commissions, agencies, state departments, and stuff did not include the board of regents of University of Alaska, so they included it separately. So it might be a good idea to.
Mr. Chairman?
Just one other thing. So they also went on to say, you know, including subordinate units of the above groups of the state or any of the public. It says, including, but not limited to, municipality, borough, school boards, all other boards, agencies. And, you know, they put in a including, but not limited to.
I found two places it goes, Bill.
And we might want to. Something like that.
Mr. Chairman, I have an even more devilish idea. How about putting in something about no board commission or whatever, or any other entity funded by the state?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's what this section says, too. It says, or local government supported in, of the state or local government supported in whole or in part by public money or authorized to spend public money.
That's so fast. In whole or in part by the state. Boy,
that'd
get
everybody in the
state
except
us.
Even right?
Do they get state money?
Who
gets
state
money?
Well,
we
buy
funded?
I mean, they keep state money, but they're not funded.
Well, they
want to
pay them. We pay them
interest.
You know,
well, this says supported in whole or in part by public money or authorized to spend public money. Well, what is the standard we're trying for? Is it that any agency that's publicly funded?
Well, Mr. Chairman, when I said that, I realized that we were broadening it very much from the original bill. And I don't have any objection to doing that, but you should know very clearly that that's what we would be doing. I mean, we're including all those private agencies, those nonprofit private agencies that get federal funds, I mean, state funds. We're including all the municipalities that get revenue sharing funds. We're including some interpretations of banks of the state that get state money and make money with it, and so on and so forth. So,
I guess we would be broad that we including Blue Cross and your membership number, of course, is your social security number. And we do business with Blue Cross at the state, right? And throughout the district, it's an identification system also.
Charlie, did you intend to cover municipalities in this?
No, sir. Mr. Chairman, the one thing I have to remember, I think, is the broader the bill is, the more problems can be difficult. And so it's drafted now as really I intend to accept that it wasn't necessary to spell out the University of Alaska. I don't have a problem doing that. But I do think that broader criticism, more difficult for me to get it through. So it's one of those matters of choosing which is a better way to go. That's a part of me. But I didn't know.
Mr. Kirk.
Oh, I agree with Charlie. I would go with it no matter how broad it goes. However, I think that we're risking and we're making it over broad then.
Lisa?
My sentiment's exactly.
Well, okay. Somebody want to make an amendment to include the university?
Well, I think we ought to include the university specifically, but I don't know exactly how to word it.
Mr. Chairman, I line 15 and line 18, after the word agency and including the University of Alaska, comma.
Also on line 29.
And line 29. And move it actually in the second sentence.
Okay. Has everybody got the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? There's no objection to the amendment's adoption. Come on.
On page 2. Charlie's here. I think it's just a slight technical matter. Social Security account number, unless required by law, I think we should make that required or authorized by law. Page 1, line 14, uses the term authorization. And aren't there some instances where you voluntarily authorize somebody to use that? Use your Social Security number. It seems like I fill out forms. I say, you know, release banking forms.
Mr. Chairman, can I respond to that?
Yes, Mr. Clark.
I think the higher standard is in that last section of the bill, because you're talking about furnishing information indexed by Social Security account number, as opposed to simply asking people to, or telling people they've got to give it to you. This is information that's already been collected and using that number as an identifier for furnishing it to a second agency. And this is where, to me, the real crux of the whole danger, if any, is that you're going to get this going over from public safety over to, well, let's say from commerce over to public safety and coming into health services to the public safety and, you know, I think that's the second step in the process, which appears to me to be more of a problem than the first one.
Does anybody else have any questions? Amendments? Ms. Wright? Okay, there's a motion to move this to be a committee substitute for House Bill 491 out of committee. Is there any objection to the motion? No objection to that. Please have to move that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh. Okay, the next bill we're going to take up is the infamous Saturday morning special.
Okay.
Here
we go. Straighten out our
thinking,
right?
I'm 068-360-192.
You've
been born on the
East Coast. I was. Maybe the title of this to an act relating to the administration of state land and Saturday sessions.
Didn't we have a committee substitute on the floor that day? I don't have a copy of that in my.
You not only have a committee substitute on the floor, but there were amendments that were adopted on the floor.
Yes.
So.
Do we have the copies?
So that you've got much more
expansive
items.
Okay. Why don't we stop for a moment here? The amendments here. The make sure we got this. Because that was one of the.
That was the reason it was kicked back, and in essence, there were, it's been like that. There's inconsistencies in Title 38 that read. One section, the director with the approval of the commissioner, and on the other, the commissioner with the recommendation of the director. discussed this with the Department of Law, it would probably be better to leave it as the amended committee substitute, the director with the approval of the commissioner. It's consistent with 3805050. It also places the initial burden to do something upon the director and then have the commissioner approve it rather than having the burden upon the commissioner to do it and then, you know, acting.
Okay. Does most of the Title 38 use the director with the approval of the commissioner?
Right. Yes. The Lands Act.
The Lands Act.
Title 3805.
Which is just kind of a special beast.
Which is kind of unique unto itself.
Why did they make that decision? Why did they make that decision to write it that way? That's not consistent with the others. Other statutes.
We have been unable to determine why. They look back. I guess this original section came along when the Lands Act was adopted first in 1959 in statehood. It has been amended subsequent to that, and nobody's ever changed it.
It starts out 3805005 as the commissioner shall control and supervise the division of lands created in the Department of Natural Resources. The director has administrative powers.
The director has
administrative power and other delegated duties as prescribed by law.
And these are delegated duties.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Mr. Carpenter.
Well, if there's really no substantive difference,
there is.
Then, given the attitude toward the director at the moment, not that I have a better attitude toward the commissioner, I would say that we should do it the way we started then. It should read the commissioner upon recommendation of the director. Or I'm afraid they'll just do that on the floor.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make any difference.
The question was raised on the floor by Mr. Meekins as to why in 38.115 it was different from the way read in 050.
Yeah, the reason what I'm suggesting is that we change it all to read in this bill the commissioner upon recommendation.
Oh, you mean and in 0502?
That's right.
See, there are other sections in this, Larry, that in 3805 that say the commissioner shall conduct public hearings after application of traditional acres.
But they're all delegable powers.
Yeah, but I think the point is that it's inconsistent as hell.
Yeah.
The buck has to stop somewhere, and it probably should stop at the commissioner's office.
The only point I'm making is that the bill should really read the commissioner.
Okay. Say again?
I'm just making the point that the bill should read the commissioner on top, because that was clearly the attitude of the House at the time this thing hit it back.
Yeah, I couldn't.
If it doesn't make any difference, substantively.
Well, I guess the question is, by doing that, we're thereby making it, although it doesn't make any difference, it is inconsistent with the rest of Title 38. On the lands portion. The rest of it, the act is going to read the director with approval of the commissioner. I suppose if we're going to be consistent, we change it one way or the other throughout Title 38. Mr. Carpenter?
Didn't you say that there are other inconsistencies?
I think Bill just read one, 3805.
Yeah, it goes from one way to the other.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this is not the right place to do it, but maybe it's something we suggest. Have the revisor do it in the revisor's bill next year is to come in and make it consistent throughout Title 38. I don't know if we need it.
Probably the one thing you would need to do is make it consistent in this bill.
Yeah, we should probably make this bill consistent and then attach a letter of intent to something that says we've asked the revisor to make that whole Title 38 consistent. Mm-hmm. With the intention that it appeared to be the intention of the House that we delegate this where the commissioner has it.
Okay, Randy's going to come down here, so maybe we could discuss that with him. Get it straightforward, past him. So that Pat, the department and also the Department of Law doesn't really care which way you do it. It doesn't going to make any legal difference. Okay. We've got these three amendments here. Amendment number one was adopted. This is the one I offered in forward. So we probably should draw up a second committee substitute by the Judiciary Committee containing amendment number one, which was adopted on the floor, and then make the change to commissioner upon the recommendation of the director. Now, in section 2, that means it actually will go back to the existing statute.
The director with the approval of the commissioner.
No, the existing statute, 115, says commissioner upon recommendation of the director.
And that's what we did
what
on the floor. The committee had changed it, and on the floor we went back
to the original. So the new committee substitute will leave the existing statute as it is in 115, but it will amend 050 on line 10.
It will make it the commissioner with the fine recommendation of the director.
Right.
Yes.
Of course, the director is a commissioner. Is the commissioner too?
What's that?
The director is assistant commissioner.
Well, that's a party deal.
I'm sorry. 6, 8, 12, 14.
Okay, now we've got another question though. And that is, there was an amendment that was pending. Amendment number 3, the Freeman Bradley Amendment. Just in terms to keep this all straight, why doesn't somebody move amendment number 1? Because I'm not sure that because something's referred back to us, that that's the way it is in the committee. So somebody would move amendment number 1 to our committee substitute to make sure it's.
You don't have this one?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll move it.
Okay, there's a motion to adopt amendment number 1. Is there any objection?
I don't think so.
There's no objection to amendment number 1.
Now you're going to object.
Would you explain it, please?
Sure.
Why did she move that amendment?
Because we had adopted it on the floor of the House.
Oh, I thought that was what you were.
Okay. Mr. Conhitty, you want to explain
it? The amendment, which was kind of worked out between us, allows the division to implement the log salvage provision without regards to competitive bidding. In the log salvage, we would be restricted to Section B, the limitation on Section B, 500,000 board feet of lumber. And this is just really inconvenient as far as when you're dealing with salvage logs, when you're not cruising timber, when you're not making a survey of the timber. You're saying, I think Mr. Gardner pointed out in the floor debate, that you're saying, this area, this island here in Southeast, you can salvage all the logs on it without regard to how much there is, how many board feet there are. And that is generally the purpose of the amendment.
My God, I think I'm back in the 9th legislature with an act relating to log brands.
This is the last vestige of the problem.
Oh, Jesus, how many hours did we go through?
Just think, I've been in the legislature 6 years to get this done. This is the most picky-unish problem.
Can I win an appeal?
Yeah.
We have beautiful glossy aerial photographs of islands clogged with logs.
Yeah, they brand logs like they do cows.
Yeah.
And that tells who owns the log. Yeah. And every log in camp has its own brand.
I think we should discuss this and not be hasty.
You're looking at the wrong amendment.
The objection was just removed. There's no further objection. Amendment number 1's up.
Did they rustle walk?
Mr. Carpenter, do you want to move the next amendment, the director commissioner thing?
The hang rustlers.
Yes, I'll move the third amendment number 3.
No, amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 now.
We're not in amendment number 3 yet.
Amendment number 2 is wrong.
Right. We're moving the new amendment.
Director with approval, commissioner upon recommendation.
Well, we'll just make it apply to line 10 instead of
amendment number 2.
Move buzz phrase
okay.
number 2.
Amendment number 2 is that in both 050 and 115, the new statute will read the commissioner upon the recommendation of the director.
Right.
In both sections.
Right.
That will be the new language.
As you know,
there's no objection. The language is adopted. Okay, that is amendment number 2. Now, we have the issue left of the amendment number 3, which was not pending. It was merely placed on the clerk's desk, as it said, and sent back to the committee with us. Pat, what What's the status of the Freeman-Bradley bill and the...
The Freeman-Bradley bill is presently in House Finance that if they indeed were serious about legislation along this line rather than making political, whatever you want to call it, political, what would be the word? Speeches.
Well, I think you'd better not say.
Speeches. Yeah. Political speeches. Political hay, that would be the appropriate vehicle to put it on, House Bill 720, which is in House Finance, speaking which Mr. Freeman sits on.
Speaking of political hay, where's the governor's bill?
The governor's bill is in the Department of Law being drafted.
When's it going to be introduced?
Probably within the next 2 weeks.
How much land is he going to put out each year?
Yes.
You'll bet on the arrival of an administration bill?
As much as I would bet on your non-arrival, friend.
That's a quarter.
And you did.
I've already won one of those in the last week, you know. I've heard about these. Oh, well, we're just going to have a bill right down, right away, you know.
We
2 weeks from today, you want to bet?
Chair, we'll do it in a minute. We've got a question. Well, let's see.
In the next 2 weeks.
Okay, how many acres of land is it going to dole out a year?
It's going to mandate a minimum of 50,000 acres a year under all the programs. And additionally, within the first year, there will be 75,000 acres put out.
What is this? We've got a great gig going here. See who can give away the most. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it isn't a matter of giving away the most. Mr. Burns.
Doling out the most.
Mr. Burns' bill, of course, is a...
I mean, everybody's trying to outdo everybody to see them dole out the most.
We're not trying to outburn Burn. You can give us that much.
I thought it was the Cthulhu Burn.
It is.
Mr. Carpenter.
We're not obligated to do anything with Amendment Number 3, are we?
No.
Why don't we just set it aside?
I think since we have the amendment here, though, I would like to make a report back when we send the bill out that we felt that rather than us taking up the issue because we don't have the bills before us, that it was more appropriate for the Finance Committee, the Resource Committee, to take up the issue. If the body desired us to take up the amendment, we would recommend referring the bill either to Resources or Finance. And I don't think they want to do that.
If I move the amendment, will you recognize me?
I'll recognize you without moving the amendment, Fred.
Well, no, I'm not saying you're going to move it. I'm saying I'm going to move it.
No, I said I'd recognize you. You recognize me.
I'd like to move the amendment.
Oh. Oh, you wanted to know if I'd recognize you if you moved the amendment.
You already recognized me.
It's too late.
No, it's never too late. So what's your purpose of moving the amendment?
I like it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I might like the amendment too, but if we're going to have an amendment like this, then we're going to have to get into it. We're not just going to tack it on today.
There are substantial problems with this amendment, which of course the drafters did not.
I mean, there might be a better approach than this. Mr. Carter.
What does that mean? Do you want to yank it out of this committee referral? Well, let's see. Not knowing what the infinite wisdom of the finance chairman is, I'm sure that Patrick Kopp and Rules Committee will take care of various differences. So the majority does not embarrass itself. But we do appreciate your concern.
I would suggest if we're going to take up the issue, then that we should, you know, get the other legislation that on the subject and look at it. You know, Mr. Freeman and Mr. Bradley introduced a separate bill that may be better than their amendment. And I would want to let them shoot their best shot. I mean, seriously.
My inclination is not to get into that fight directly. That's another advance, probably violation of the single subject rule. Really call it state. Let's just let it go, move the bill back in, see if we get the revisor to clean up that title and go on with the change of that.
Mr. Brown, your motion is still for it.
Am I going down in flames? I will withdraw the motion, apparently. I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Okay, I'm going to
tell Mr. Bradley and Mr. Freeman. I'm going to tell every one of you.
I'm going to send a letter along. I'll just send a letter to the speaker and maybe have it read that we did consider amendment number three, and we recommended that if the amendment was to be considered, either consider the legislation separately or to refer this bill to another committee for property. Now, see how much I hate your credibility. If I hadn't moved it, then it would be hard for you to, with credibility, say that we considered the amendment.
I'm going to tell Kai Whistler, yeah, that you.
This is right. Don't leave out Mark Rickstead.
Maybe this is a, not a valid point, but those two amendments, which we just adopted, were adopted on the floor. No, one was pending.
Amendment number one.
One was adopted.
We're going
therefore, the question arises in my mind as to whether we really have the power to make a decision on that amendment, since it was adopted by the full body. Now, we've already done it, so it's a redundant question, but when you write your letter to the speaker, it seems to me that question might be addressed.
About amendment number three?
Or just about procedural problems?
Because it'll happen again.
The question that comes to my mind is, did we have any option in adopting amendment number one? It was adopted by the full body. Therefore, if we had not been willing to adopt it, wouldn't it still have gone on the bill? And I don't know that it really matters since we've
I'll tell you what happens is, and I've seen this happen before, you have, let's say that you go to the floor, and I think, see, a committee substitute is merely an amendment. And if you go out to the floor, and let's say the Judiciary Committee has a committee substitute, and the Resources Committee has a committee substitute, and they moved the Resources Committee substitute, and it was adopted, you could move the Judiciary Committee substitute, and it would more or less be treated as an amendment. You know, it would replace the original bill, but in a sense, it's an amendment. So when we go back, we'll offer, and I think this is the way it will be, we'll offer a second Judiciary Committee substitute, and it will be moved. You know how you say, I move and ask now to stand that the Judiciary Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Well, we would move the second Judiciary Committee to be adopted in lieu of the bill before.
It's exactly the same procedure as saying I move an amendment and make sure the substitute.
So our second committee substitute could be a lot different from whatever is before the body.
Yes, but if we did not include this amendment in the second committee substitute, couldn't a case be made that has to go
no,
on?
No, because the body still has to vote to accept the second committee substitute, right? And that issue could be brought out that we did not have that amendment in there, and the body could vote down the second committee substitute.
Well, then implied in your answer is that when it's referred back to committee, we can do any damn thing we want, because the body's going to be voting on all the amendments anyway.
That's right, because see, when we go back to body, what will be before the body is the committee substitute as amended. And then there will have to be a motion to adopt anything else.
Second person.
And our second committee substitute isn't any different than anybody else. So we're okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I address the committee for just one final word? This bill is really just a cleanup bill. It's not the vehicle junk.
We've already decided that. You don't have to overstate.
Keep
talking. I'll make my motion again. I'll make some votes.
There is a suggestion afloat that something be done with the trust lands question, and this being the vehicle for that. And I just would like to suggest to this body that this is not the vehicle for that.
We appreciate it.
Just like the disposal of state lands is not this is not the vehicle for that.
Thank you.
Well, if we say it is, it is.
Yeah, that's
it.
What I was just saying.
I just was suggesting that it wasn't. You have to remember my remarks.
We need to.
I move the committee.
038-42.
All right, so motion to move the second committee substitute out of committee. Is there any objection? Okay, if there's no objection. We have a committee report. Okay, Randy, we have this question that we want to look at. In Title 38, for instance, there is language is used separately, the director with the equivalent of the commissioner, and then in other sections it says the commissioner upon recommendation of the director. And it's inconsistent throughout the statute. The Department of Law and the Department of Natural Resources report to us that there's no difference in meaning between those two, the effect of them. And yet it's inconsistent in the statute. And we have made the decision that we're going to amend this House Bill 54 that we're working on to be consistent to say the commissioner upon the recommendation of the director. We thought maybe this was appropriate for the revisers bill, maybe for next year or something, to look at that question of making the statutes consistent.
Just to go through 38.
Yes.
And make it consistent.
And our recommendation is to say the commissioner upon the recommendation of the director, thereby saying, you know, the power, what seems to appeal to everybody is that the power flows from the commissioner down to the director, and that's why it sounds better to people that way. But the Department of Law, evidently, trace the history, doesn't know why it was used two different ways. So, we thought we'd just bring that to your attention. However, the revisor gets his ideas.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so meeting's adjourned.
4:05.
All right, this meeting is celebrated. After the meeting, we'll talk about this. Easter eggs.
Duck soup.
$5.
A beer.
I got one. Mandarin coming from Charlie Leaf on the redraft on ESC that was supposed to be down last Friday.
Meeting adjourned.